evening here in America. I was wondering how many we would have, but you come, and thank you for coming. If by chance you're here for the first time, you know, I almost feel like saying, where have you been? But we're glad to see you, especially glad to see you. There was just one omission concerning tomorrow. Our good chairman, or notice giver-writer, told us that there was no meeting tomorrow. But you will not forget that at Harrisburg Gospel Center at 8 o'clock is maybe the most important meeting of the week. It's Saturday morning prayer meeting. They've been having it for such a long while, and when I flew in last Saturday morning, I was just able to get there in time for it. So, prayer breakfast, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, Harrisburg Gospel Center. And then, one other thing. Ever since I've been here, I believe almost every evening, apart from the first evening when I didn't really feel like talking to anyone. But nevertheless, apart from almost the first evening, every evening someone said to me, Mr. Forty, you're going to give us your testimony. You're going to tell us how you met the Lord. Well, I've been praying about it and thinking about it. And if the Lord will, on Sunday evening, I won't be forgetting that the Lord's coming back. But I'd like to share with you on Sunday evening how we met Jesus Christ. And maybe just a little of what he has come to mean to us. I won't be able to share much of it, but I'll share a little of it with you anyway. Tonight, I want to read a verse or two in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 14, if we may please. As we read it, I trust we will not forget what we have been saying during the past evening. Luke chapter 14. If the good man that's operating the mic would please take note that those P's and S's are singing again. Thank you. He's got a little knob at the back, you see, and he turns them down, and that cuts the thing that's coming back and hitting me. Isn't it grand? After a week, we know how to work it. I wish we'd known how to work it the first time. Boy, I do. But there we are. Luke chapter 14, if we may, please. And I would like to commence reading a little way down in the chapter. I would like to commence reading, please, in verse 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those which were bidden shall taste of my supper. May the Lord just add his blessing to the reading of his word. Would you join me in prayer just for one moment? Dear Lord, as we bow our hearts before thee, we're not unmindful of the fact that we need thee. We pray that the Spirit himself may take of the things of Christ tonight and reveal them to every one of us for Jesus' sake. Amen. The parables of the Lord Jesus are, as we said last evening, but pictures of some great truth that would have happened or will yet happen. You will remember that in the 14th chapter of Luke, the Lord has told a parable of a man who gave a feast, of someone that came into the feast, and then was compelled by the giver of the feast to come up higher, for he had taken a backward place in the feast. The one who, first of all, had sat in the front, had to be told to go to the back. And we were reminded that this feast, this parable, was but a parable of a day yet to come. And in the previous verse, from which we started this evening, we read these words, "For thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just." Isn't it remarkable that as in the past evenings we've been looking forward to the day that we believe will shortly come, when he whose right it is to come, and will not tarry, we have been thinking of many aspects of that. I have taken you in one verse and another through the Word of God to point out to you some of the wonderful things that will shortly come to pass. And we have thought indeed of that great day when there shall be the resurrection of the just. We have thought of that awful day when shall be the resurrection of the damned. But tonight, with the thought of the resurrection of the just before us, the Lord heard someone who turned to him and said, "Lord, how blessed it is to eat bread in the kingdom. Oh Lord, what a wonderful thing it is in that day at the resurrection of the just to enter in to the glories that you have for men and women." Isn't it remarkable that the Lord turned on this man and said, just a moment, what are you talking about the future for? What are you talking about the resurrection of the just for? What are you talking about eating bread in the kingdom for? Don't you realize that things are ready now? Why, come for all things are now ready. And it is this tonight that I want to share with you. I don't want tonight to talk just about the future. I don't want men and women to leave this service saying, "Well, it may be tomorrow, it may be 5 years' time, it may be 100 years' time." I want you to realize that there's something for you tonight. Tonight, come, for all things are now ready. As I look at the parable that we have read, it seems to me that it falls into four sections. First of all, we're told about a feast. A certain man made a great supper. We're told about a feast. But then we're told not just about a feast, but we're told about folly. About men that were bidden to come to the feast. And with one consent, they began to make an excuse. All the folly of men and women who will not hearken to what God has to say and will turn their back on the invitation that Jesus gives. But then I want to remind you, not just of a feast, and not just of folly, but I want to remind you of people. Feeble men and women. Why, when those that were bidden came not, the Lord Jesus told his disciples to go out into the highways and hedges and find the poor and the maimed, the halt and the blind, the feeble folk. The folk that you and I gaze upon and say, oh, that poor man, that poor woman. Jesus looked at them and he didn't call them poor. He said to his disciples, you go and tell them to come to my feet. There's a place for them. But if I look indeed at the feast, and I consider the folly, if I gaze for a moment at the feeble, I am not unmindful that there was a famine. Although the feast was there, the Lord Jesus said those who in the first place were bidden to come and refused to come, there will be no feast for them, for he dared say that there would be a famine. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Firstly, a feast. You know, I'm always amazed how the Word of God likens the things of God to the thing that you and I enjoy so much. A feast. He said that this man gave a feast, and what a feast it was. He said, and he said unto them, a certain man made a great supper. A great supper. I wonder if I could speak to the ladies here just for a moment. If you were going to give a great supper, would I not be right in saying this? There would be three things that would mark it. The first thing that would mark your great supper would be the preparation you put into preparing it. The second thing, if it was a great supper, would not just be the preparation, but the price you pay for the things that would be set before your friends. And I think all of you will agree with me that it would not just be the preparation. It would not just be the price. But oh, it would be the people that you would invite to a great supper. You would think of your friends. Maybe you would think of some that were in need. And you would say, come, come, for all things are ready. I say, do you honestly believe that God would do less than you? Why, when you think of the preparation that God has placed into what we call the gospel feast, that men and women may sit with him at his table, that men and women may know his company, his fellowship, and isn't that what a feast is all about? I went out with friends this evening for supper. It was a good supper. But I would like to say this. Please, nothing wrong with a supper. It was an excellent supper. But the thing that made it for me tonight was the friends that surrounded that table. That we were there with friends. And you could have placed the finest supper in the world before me. But if I had no friends to share it with me, it wouldn't be much of a supper. Oh, I have a God, blessed be his name. And what a supper he has prepared. This gospel feast, that men and women might enjoy his company, and he might enjoy their company. And you know where that preparation began? My Bible tells me of the Lord Jesus, that he was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Oh, please, please, don't come to me afterwards and ask me to explain that. I can't. I only know this, that God looked down the avenue of time and saw you, sir, saw you, madam, saw me. And God, knowing all about us, made a preparation that we might enjoy his fellowship, his time, and his present in eternity. Oh, what preparation. What price. What price. I've been in your lovely land now about 5 weeks. I believe I'm right in saying that I wasn't here 2 or 3 days before I got a letter from Mary, my wife. Oh no, it was a little longer. It takes about 6 days to get a letter from England now. I don't know if it's your post or ours, but mine's a bit slower. I only know this, that it was the first letter I had from home. And almost the first question Mary asked me, and the letter was full of questions, almost the first question she asked was, are things dearer there than here? Isn't it remarkable how we're always looking at prices? Do you know, I was away in a place just outside of Liverpool a few weeks ago. I went into the post office. There were a number of ladies, elderly ladies, in a queue waiting to get their pension. You know, they pay pensions in my country to the post office. And there they were waiting for their pension. And suddenly, it began to pour with rain. You know, the sort of rain you'd like here now, but we get every day. Nevertheless, it began to pour with rain. Suddenly, the conversation changed. And they started to grumble about the rain. I couldn't stand it, you know. I looked at them, and I said, you will excuse me, ladies. I've been standing here 5 minutes listening to your conversation. And for 5 minutes, you've been complaining about everything going up. Butter's gone up, and flour's gone up, and eggs gone up. And I say now, bless my soul, the rain's coming down and you're complaining about that. You know, isn't it remarkable how folk have complained about everything? I say, what did that have to do with a sermon? I can't remember. But there it was. There it was. I only know this. Oh yes, we were talking about the prices of things. To have a piece today, it must cost an immense amount. I'm sure it does. But friends, oh friends, when I think of this gospel piece, the price, I'll tell you what it costs. It costs God His Son. That's what it costs. My Bible tells me God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It cost the Lord Jesus. He went to Calvary's cross and gave His life for us. That's what it costs. But if this feast tells us of preparation, and this peace tells us of a price, this peace tells us of a people. The Lord said, why the invitation was given out, and it says, come, for all things are now ready. Now ready. Oh, what an invitation. Isn't it grand? We've no need to wait one moment longer to enter into the good things God has for us. They're ready now, and the invitation is given now. Now, just this very tick. Now. But if there is a peace, there's folly. For those that were bidden with one consent, they began to make excuse. Now I would like just to emphasize that for a moment. It always touches me when I read it. In other words, these people that were bidden to come to the feast didn't want to come and they told lies. There was no excuse. With one consent, they began to make excuse. You see, one of them said to the other one, listen, what are you going to say? I better not say the same thing as you. What are you going to say? Oh, well, I won't say that. And they talked it over and they made up lies as to why they shouldn't come. And sir, madam, let me be very frank with you tonight. As I travel from place to place, not just in this country, but in many countries of the world, I get tired at listening to some of the excuses that people give me for not being a Christian. Tired of it. Because I don't believe them. They are but lies that people tell for not trusting the Lord. I mean, you think just for a moment of the three excuses that were given here. The first one said, well now, I'd like to come to that feast, but I can't, you see. And I can't come because, well, I bought a piece of ground that I must needs go and see it. Could you think of anything feebler than that? Now please, I don't know very much about many things. But I do know just a little bit about farming and a little bit about farmers. You see, I come from a farming county. And I want to say this to you, that I've never yet met a farmer who'd buy a piece of ground without seeing it. Now, not me. Every farmer I know, if he hears that there's a piece of ground coming for sale, off he goes. My son's not a farmer, but they've got a little holding some time ago, he wanted to buy a field. Dad, will you come and look at it with me? Yeah, Pa, come and look at it with your son. And off we went. And any of you farmers here, you know what we did. We walked round the field and we looked at the herbage. For I know nothing in the world that'll tell you what's under the ground like what's on top of the ground. And then we looked at it, and I said, son, you don't want to touch it with a barge pole. Why, look at those nettles, the ground's sour. I say, up under there, it's summer, but there's some reeds running. It wants to be drained. What? And we walked around the ground, and he never bought it. And I'm not a farmer. But here was a farmer, and he said, I bought a piece of ground, and please, I must go and see it. I've never looked at it. May I remind you of something? May I remind you that if he'd have gone and seen that piece of ground, and it was waterlogged, and it wouldn't grow a thing, he bought it. It was his. I'll tell you something. There are not two fools born the same day. He could well have put it off till the feast was over. But he didn't want to go to the feast. And he used an excuse. You know, if the first one was bad, the second one was awful, wasn't it? He said, I'd like to come to the feast, but I bought 10 oxen. I bought 5 yoke of oxen. Now please, I don't know anything about buying working oxen. I've been plenty of countries where they still plow with oxen, where they still work with oxen. But I've never bought an ox in my life. But over the course of years, we've bought a few horses. And I'll tell you something about buying a horse. You don't buy it unless you look at it and look at it well. How many times have I stood by my daughter because they've got horses and I've said to them, well, trot it up. And up they trot it back, and back they trot it. And I want to see it from the side, and I want to see it from the back, and I want to see what its back's like, and I run my hands down its headlock, and I open its mouth, and see how old it is. And I tell you something else I do, I don't know if you farming folk ever do, but I always look at its ears as well. Because I once bought a pony that's ears had been trimmed, and I thought it was a good, smart pony, lifting its feet up, and it was as deaf as a post, and they trimmed its ears out, so it sounded the crack of the whip, as though it was like an explosion of a gun, So I look, make sure they haven't trimmed its ears out. And I want a warranty with it as well. Why, before I buy a pony or a horse from a daughter, I say, just a moment, you'll give her a warranty, won't you? We want 3 days to prove the thing. But here was a man who bought 10 of them. They might have been gibbers. He could have put them in the chains and said, get up, and they wouldn't budge an inch. But they were his. He bought them. And if you can't sell one piece of ground in a day, you can't sell 10 oxen in a day. He could well have put it off. But he didn't do it. But if the first one was awful, and the second one was terrible, I don't know what to say about the third one. I can't come, I've married a wife. I say, did you notice what it was? It was a great supper. My wife will be with us this time next week, please God. I'll tell you something. If you invite us to a great feast, she'll be there first. Why, dear me, you will appreciate that over the course of the years I have to officiate at many weddings. Young couple came to me and say, Uncle Sam, we want to get married. Will you marry us? And after the lecture, I always give them a lecture. After the lecture, maybe I'm performing the ceremony and all. Stand in the front, look at them, wilt now, and they wilt straight away. I only know this, that if I'm invited to conduct the wedding, Mary always expects an invitation as well. She wants to be there. And he was a man who said, I can't come, I've married a wife. But do you know, sir, it is serious enough to use excuses like that. I bought a piece of ground. I bought 10 oxen. I've married a wife. But that's not the terrible thing about the excuses. Do you know the terrible thing about the excuses? It's this. That the things they used to stop them going to the feast were the 3 blessings God gave to Adam when he created man. When God made man, he gave him 3 blessings. The first one, he gave him a piece of ground. He gave him a garden. The second one, he gave him authority over all beasts of the field. The third one, he gave him a wife, that he may be loved and he may love, as a companion for the days of his life. Those were the 3 blessings God gave to a man. My friend, those are the 3 excuses they gave for not coming to Christ. I want to ask you something. I don't know you all. I trust it sounds courteous because I would be courteous. But I wonder tonight if there's someone here and you've never come to Jesus Christ. You've never asked him to be your savior. What excuses are you giving? Are you saying, I would come, but I've got the business, you see? I would come, but I've got a social life. I would come, but I've got a home life. The very things that the Christ of God can enrich to you, if only you come to him. I say, that piece of ground would have been the better if he'd not gone and seen it. If it was good ground, the grass would have grown a bit more. There'd have been a little more feed for his oxen. His oxen would have been better able to work if they'd had a day of rest. His wife, well, she might have been a better wife. She might have found some recipes for good meals by going to the feast. But they wouldn't go. And if you refuse to come to Jesus Christ, sir, madam, you're going to be the loser. You're going to be the loser. There was a feast. There was folly. But isn't it wonderful there were those that were feeble? The Bible says that where some were poor, they never had a piece of ground. They never had 10 yokes of oxen. I know not where they had a wife. They were poor. And I want to say this to you. And I want to say it here tonight. Mary's not with me. But if we could manage to struggle on, I think we might, mark you, if the Lord will. But if we can manage to struggle on for just a few more months till October, we've been married 40 years. And when I married the girl that's my wife, I loved her then and I love her more now than I did then. And I want to say this to you. I want to say this to you tonight here in this very meeting. Let no man poor. He may lose all this world can offer. But he's no pauper if he's got a wife that he can turn to, his companion in life. I'm no pauper, I'm the richest man that ever lived. I've got Christ as my Savior. I've got a wife who's with me in the work of God. I'm no pauper. But oh, here was a man who was poor, so maybe he didn't have a wife. No ground, no oxen, no wife, poor. Why, the Bible says there were those that were maimed. I want to ask again, how do you get maimed? Maimed! Oh no, here was not a person who was born with a deformity. He was a person who in life something had happened to him, and he was maimed. I say, the same has left its mark, and it's left its mark on us. There's not a man or a woman that it's not left its mark on. Men! But isn't it wonderful? Those that were poor and those that were maimed. They were bidden to come to the feast. They were invited. Why, you may not be able to walk, sir, you're maimed. You may feel you haven't an entrance fee. Well, there isn't an entrance fee. You can come. You will pardon me for saying this, but I was very thrilled the other evening when my dear friend Brother Jim reminded us that whoever is invited to the service need have no fears the fact that they will be pressed to make some contribution. 38 years I've been serving the Lord, and I want to say this to you. In this and over 30 other countries, and I've never conducted a service that I've been responsible for where we've had a collection. We've never asked anyone for a penny, and we never will. I say, I don't look too bad on it, do I? I stand on the scales and they say, one at a time, please. And there's a good doctor over there that I ate with the other evening, and he was telling me, I'll let you into a secret. I suffer with a little bit of blood pressure, you see. And off I go to the hospital to get a checkup before I come over here. He gave a list, and I gave it to the doctor to read, and, you know, the things I'm supposed to have, and so on. It started off, and it said, what's wrong with this man is obesity. Phew, I could have hit it. And he couldn't even say overweight. Oh, don't you dare say that to me, doctor. Don't you dare say that to me. I said it. Well, what a thing. Please, I know maybe I smiled as I said it. And maybe I ought to be ashamed of it. I did. I only know this. That I've got a God who cares for me. He's provided for me. And blessed be his name, he promised always to. Always to. There is no price for the gospel peace. Salvation is without money and without Christ. All you need to do is to come. Come. Ah, the people. Remember this, and it's a solemn note on which to close, but I must use it. The story tells us not only of a feast, it tells us not only of man's folly, It tells us not only of those that are people who are invited, but it tells us of a famine. For those that refuse to come, those that refuse to come to the feast, none of them, said the Lord Jesus, shall taste of my supper. What an eternal famine it will be! To have no place with him, for eternity to be outside of the goodness and the mercy and the blessing of our God. But isn't it wonderful? It's not necessary for us to be outside. For tonight we can come. Here then is our text. Come! For all things are now ready. Don't just talk of that coming day. Don't just talk of the day when how good and blessed it is to eat bread in the kingdom. Remember, the things of God are for today, to be enjoyed today. I want to ask simply, will you not come? Will you not take Jesus Christ as your Savior and enter into the things he has for you tonight? Please, God, you will. For his name's sake. Amen. In closing, I wonder if we could sing together, please. 142. Number 142. I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee. Oh, I wonder tonight if there's someone who's heard that voice. Come, for all things are now ready. Are you willing to come? Willing to trust that Savior? Please, God, you will. 142. Shall we rise and sing?
Oh, is he
calls me on to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust for earth and heaven above. I am coming. Oh, friend, will you sing it and mean it tonight? I am coming, Lord. Coming now to thee. Come to all things. And now, ready. The last. service is over. I'm not prolonging it. I said what I believe the Lord wanted me to say tonight. But I must remind you, as I do every evening, that I have in my hand a few copies of that wonderful little gospel booklet, God's Way of Salvation, and a few copies of Safety, Certainty, and Enjoyment. If tonight there's someone here, and you are willing to come to Jesus Christ, you're willing to trust Him, you're willing to make Him yours tonight. When I've dismissed the service with prayer, I'll be standing in the front. Maybe you care to do what someone did last evening, just come forward and say, I'd like to trust the Lord. Do you want to trust Him? If I can help you, ask me for a booklet, and I'd love to speak with you. Count it a joy. There are brethren and sisters here, trained counselors, who'd love to help you. We are your servants for Christ. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, thank you for having salvation ready for us. Thank you for paying the price that our sin may be forgiven. We pray that tonight we may hear Thee say, come, for all things are now ready. Grant that we may be willing to come for Jesus' sake. Amen.